Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. Choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
The public's demand for outdoor play, fall zones, and the width of those fall zones
do we
have at the end of a slide so that if somebody goes really flying off that slide.
Right. You think was very prominently missing in playgrounds of yore, we can call it that.
You know, what was missing was nature.
According to its official website, the St. Louis suburb of Brentwood's moniker, City of Warmth, owes to its blend of, quote, small-town charm and friendly atmosphere. But as of last weekend, another name it could add is City of, oh my, this place is huge. That's because Brentwood's 2.5-acre outdoor playscape, aptly called Destination Brentwood, is now open, just in time for warmer weather and families looking for cost-free ways their kids can use up some energy. We talked briefly about Destination Brentwood last summer when Ted Spade, landscape architect and SWT Design founding partner, came to talk with us about the basketball courts in Tower Grove Park and Forest Park. We'll get an update on the latter today. Before we get to that, Ted joins us to give us some details about the Brentwood playscape and what his firm did to help it come to fruition. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon.
So let's begin with a bit of a description of this playscape. It's, again, 2.5 acres of land. It incorporates natural landscape into an engaging and inclusive playground area. And there are zip lines, two fast slides, emphasis on fast, and massive jungle gyms, as well as, you know, swings for everyone. Refresh our memories here, Ted. Why was this built?
Right. Well, the whole park is 99 acres, and it's really to restore the Deer Creek Valley. And part of that is to just create a whole new park. And part of the major element in there is this destination play facility. So really it's to create this restorative landscape, but at the same time have lots of active recreation here. So the key is to create a destination play facility that really is attractive to all ages, moms and dads and grandparents, and make it very accessible.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that our producer, Maya Norfleet's niece, brought up is that there's a lounge area that is very nice and very nice bathrooms. Is this part of design consideration that you made in order to make this truly for everybody?
Right. I think, you know, making it very attractive and I always like the attitude of like, why can't we make parks and recreation feel like hospitality facilities, right? Mm-hmm. Make it place to enjoy. And so you'll see lounge chairs by the water play area, the comfort station or the bathrooms, and the pavilion, which was designed by Christner Architects, really created an attractive and usable facility there to just be something for people of all ages to want to come and spend time.
Mm-hmm. What is it that inspired the design of this playscape, including its components, Ted?
Sure. Sure. I think it's interesting. The site used to be an old quarry back in the 1920s. And so some of the inspiration, like where you see there's a big water play area with these large concrete walls, seat walls where people could sit down on, and there's an overlook there. And the idea that it's kind of a modern interpretation of the quarry, not everybody will get that, but that was something important. But I think most importantly was creating a strong focal point with this large pavilion that parents could be at and see all the different age groups. Like if I have a little kid who's 3 to 5, I can see them over at the small kid area. Or if I have an active kid who wants to run and do some more adventurous play. So the idea was to create almost like a village of different playground types mm-hmm. and activities, and that each time a parent or a child comes out, they find something new. And so thinking about big play areas and small little nooks was very important.
Mm-hmm. And what are those playground types? Can you describe what they are?
So the different types are, we have one that's called the family play area, which is more ground-based activities for smaller kids. Now you'll see your traditional swings, and we even have a merry-go-round in that area. So that becomes that family play zone. And then we have what we call the adventure play zone. And that is, we have more treehouse-like elements. There's a spine that leads you to a big observation deck that overlooks the park. And there's a big net hammock that can hold a lot of little kids. And it's about 16 feet down below. So it seems very crazy to jump into it, but it's to give that heightened awareness. And then we have what we call the crazy climb area, which is the taller structures for the older kids. Mm-hmm. And then we have a sound play area. And then last not but least, there's this amazing, probably the largest splash pad area in St. Louis, where we, have lots of water play activity that kids can actuate by, waving their hand over the top of a podium. And it creates these creeks and riverines. And so we have the Deer Creek, we have Black Creek, and we have Shady Grove Creek. So that was kind of inspired by Mud Island down in Tennessee. That is really quite extraordinary, talking about the Mississippi rivers. But this is kind of the creeks of Brentwood was my inspiration for that.
Okay. Well, as a whole, speaking of inspiration, I mean, why was it that SWT Design was interested in this project to begin with?
Well, I think first and foremost, we've been founded in Parks and Recreation, and so we've been doing that for almost 30 years now. What was really interesting to me was how to really create a destination that weaves in ecology, that weaves in these different types of play activities, be part of the Deer Creek watershed, and really to be part of the community. We love working in the St. Louis community and creating new and exciting spaces for families and kids to be in. And, mm-hmm. and what a legacy, right, to be able to do things. And it's generational. So one day, these kids are going to grow up and have kids, and they're going to want to come back to that. So really creating things that are memorable are very important to us.
So pulling this off, I mean, it did entail a lot of monetary resources. But in addition to that, what else did it take to get this project from, the landscape, architecture, design side across the finish line?
Sure. It takes a lot of collaboration. We had structural engineers on our team. We have architects. Anna Hernandez was very helpful. We have contractors that, are working. Plotker Construction was very instrumental in building it, and then Navigate Building Solutions. So, and not to mention the whole team with the Brentwood Parks and Recreation and the Board of Aldermen. And so it really was a collaborative approach to pull this off.
Mm-hmm. Now, opening day was last weekend. It was Saturday, I believe.
Yes.
And apparently 2,000 to 2,500 people came from open to close.
Right.
Were you anticipating that many people to be there?
I was like hoping that there wouldn't be, right? Because it puts a lot of pressure on a park when there's that many people all at once on a brand new play facility. So no, I was super excited about that. And I think we were anticipating. There's a lot of interest building up over the last 6 months. So it was thrilling to see that many people just enjoying and laughing and just having the time of their life. So, but it's kind of like it's probably the most impact that park will ever see.
Sure.
You might have some special events, but I will tell you, whenever I see something like that, I'm always learning. Right. I'm always like, well, boy, that didn't work as well as I thought it would. I need to remember that the next time.
Yeah. So does that mean then you were seeing people use the space in ways that you envisioned right off? And then on the other side of that, did you also see people sort of interacting not only with the space itself, but also with one another in ways that maybe you just hadn't thought about?
Well, I think, you know, it was used exactly the way we had hoped. And I think when you have that many people at once, there is kind of this chaotic aspect. So parents are losing their kids and people are just running, right? And so there's that. But that, what I attribute that to opening day. But no, I didn't see anything that I felt wasn't what we had hoped for. So mm-hmm. I love the internet. Like, I saw moms and dads playing with their kids, you know, and we want that. We would rather not have parks where it's just like you drop off the kid and then you go about your daily business, have a cup of latte and work on your work, right?
Okay,
I would rather
have
it. So we saw a lot of interaction that day and I was super happy about
it. Okay, I can relate to that. Sometimes it's necessary, but...
It's hard.
Yeah, but being able to enjoy the space with a child, in my case, you know, my son is 8, that is certainly something that sounds appealing to me.
Well, and I think we talk about parallel play. So the parents, you know, the kid can go down the slide, your kid can go down the slide, and you can go run next to them or hold their hand or make sure that they're comfortable. If it's the first time they've ever been down a slide, you can walk next to them. And so it's that creating that parallel activity or you and me swings. Mm-hmm. An adult can be on the swing and across from them is their toddler. And
right.
So you're swinging together. And so those are important moments.
Mm-hmm. I want to invite you to the conversation. In your experience, what makes a good park and playground great? What features would you like to see in your area parks and playgrounds? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. Or you can tag us in a post on X at STL On Air or email us at talk@stlpr.org. We need to take a quick break, but we'll be back to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with landscape architect and SWT Design founding partner, Ted Spade. We actually have a caller from St. Louis on the line. Alex, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having my call.
Sure, go ahead.
I was just going to bring up about features that you talked about that you like to see in playgrounds areas or play areas. Our kids really love when we travel rock climbing features. Like, it's being popular to get like these boulder climb walls and things like that that are in outdoor spaces. It's just really interesting to see them play and like interact, and it kind of brings in like a nature aspect, and it's something that we don't find as much around here in the St. Louis area. We found one at Suthan Park. There's a small boulder climb feature there at the playground, which is incredible for them. But that's just something I wanted to bring up and maybe hear thoughts about. I know they can be expensive to build, but it's a feature that my kids always seek out when we're on vacation somewhere, especially out west or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Alex, thank you. And I can relate to that. My son likes that too. Ted, talk about that a little.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's lots of different styles of playgrounds. And I think having the nature playscape and boulders and, you know, there's one in Forest Park.
Right.
But we did put some climbing, like a wall climb device. So you mm-hmm. have the little grasping handholds on the concrete wall. So there is a great little area underneath a bridge at the Brentwood Park that the kids can grab onto and hold onto. So it is kind of that intro into rock climbing.
Yes.
And it's a great activity, and people were loving it this
mm-hmm.
weekend.
You know, that gets to something that that I've observed. And if you sort of look at playscapes and playgrounds, and among the ones that you've designed, they are different in how they look and feel from what I played on as a child. Slides, you know, metal in particular that hurt in the summer, you know, asphalt, you know, tears up not only shoes, but also knees. And it was a lot of fun, right, to play on those playgrounds, but they're nothing like what I have been seeing as a parent what's out there today. I mean, was there a shift, a perceptible one, in park and playground design that kind of moved toward greater safety and more fun?
Right, right. No, that's a good question. I think, you know, our society, of course, has gotten very litigious, so we do have lots of safety standards. And so there has been a greater shift. I was one of those people that would go down a slide onto the asphalt back in the day, and mm-hmm. no, those are not allowed anymore. And so there is a tremendous amount of safety standards that you'll experience there at Brentwood, and everything from the safety surfacing, we call it. So you have these resilient surfaces. There's both an artificial turf with some soft surfacing below it, and then you have these poured-in-place systems, and then you have natural wood fiber. So there's a lot of tools in our toolbox where we have to work with safety, and usually it's fall zones, and the width of those fall zones, how much do we have at the end of a slide so that if somebody goes really flying off of that slide,
right.
you have enough space to fall. Mm-hmm. And so that's all been taken in consideration. And the good news is all that is very standardized. So we can do something really tall and it can be 20 feet high, but we have different levels of safety surfacing for those kids to fall onto.
Yeah. Now, the last time you were here, Ted, and we talked about what you do, it's a very sort of interdisciplinary job, and you're thinking about developments in many different areas. Was there, though, sort of, as far as you can tell, like a cultural shift that brought about an interest in more enriching play? You mentioned the music-oriented, mm-hmm. the sound playground, you know, puzzles that I've seen in places. And we've also talked about inclusive playgrounds in another segment on this show in the past. I mean, is that connected to what was happening maybe in education and early education in particular?
Well, I think the shift has been in the public's demand for outdoor play experiences. Mm-hmm. As our communities grow, as they become denser, the need for outdoor recreation, safe recreation, inclusive recreation continues to grow. And I think the public awareness is the public is expecting and are learning as they go. Mm-hmm. And so as designers like me start to show these new ideas, there'll be other neighboring communities. Why can't we have that?
Right,
and so
right.
it is kind of that, you know, it's just building up over time. And so it really helps define the community's image as well, right?
Yeah. Is there anything that you think was very prominently missing in playgrounds of your, we can call it that, that are just now more common now, or that you are very focused on incorporating into your playground designs?
Yeah, what was missing was nature. usually there are big asphalt pads and you throw a slide and swing on and that's it. And
right.
So I think, you know, I'm very keen on finding ways to integrate trees and landscapes. And in the past, it's harder to maintain them, right? It's much easier to maintain asphalt than it is to maintain a landscape.
Sure.
And so really changing, having that paradigm shift with the Parks and Recreation departments and the maintenance staff and the community to integrate and weave in landscape into a play environment is challenging, but I think very rewarding. So that's a really signature of ours.
Mm-hmm. And that is something that is part of one of those really big slides at the Destination Playground, right?
Right. And you know, we do have plants on either side of it. And I will say the kids are running through it and they're tearing it up. And so not everything works that we try to do.
Right.
And so we're learning as we go as like, how can we best integrate mm-hmm. landscape and nature in a soft way that reduces the heat, right?
Right.
We want to make sure we have shade in the parking area, in the play areas. And so, you know, in another 5 years when you come back to Brentwood, you'll see the trees will be much bigger. And so mm-hmm. already we've planted over 200 trees just within this 3-acre area
right.
to help soften it.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of trees, Forest Park, we promised an update here. The last time you were on the show was last summer, and we talked about basketball courts on their way to being completed in Tower Grove Park and Forest Park, and people have been hooping it up on those Tower Grove Park courts since October of last year. Now, the basketball courts at Forest Park have been named Nicholas J. Booker Basketball Courts. And what I read about the provenance of that was very touching. Nicholas worked summers for the city's Parks and Rec Department. He loved basketball. And he tragically passed away from an asthma attack during a game of pickup during his first year at Fordham University. So, you know, naming the courts in his honor, that's very special. And it gives me sort of a deeper sense of how much community involvement went into the planning of these courts at Forest Park. Ted, as a designer and an architect, you know, how does community engagement impact or inform your process?
Oh, it's paramount to all projects because it's about community acceptance and also really taking on their ideas. And so I think any project that we work on in a park, having public engagement is critical, and Forest Park was certainly one of them. Mm-hmm. And you're right, having that deeper meaning behind a facility is wonderful, and I think that just enriches all of our lives mm-hmm. to know these stories.
Yeah. So the burning question is, how soon are we talking insofar as these courts opening up?
Well, you know, I'll be glad to invite you out for a game of horse.
We'll be
out on the court. No, I think it's coming along really well. You're welcome to go out there and see it under construction, and I think we are on target for opening this summer.
Okay, great. And what is it that people can expect? I mean, will the Forest Park courts, will they be similar to those in Tower Grove Park? You know, how will they be different, especially in consideration of what you had said about considering the natural environment and sort of what each of these parks is like?
Well, they're all different, right? I mean, Tower Grove Park is a special park, and so is Forest Park. And I think the location of where these are is very special, and it's just going to be a great asset for the community.
So in Forest Park, where will they be?
Oh, near the Visitor Center. So just north of the Visitor Center where the racquetball courts are and the handball courts. So it makes sense that all of the kind of the court activity and recreation are together. So yeah, go by the job site, check it out.
Ted, thank you so much for coming to talk with
Thanks,
us again.
Elaine.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
Support comes from Missouri Forest Products Association, committed to sustainable and sound conservation of the state's forests, which support more than 41,000 Missouri jobs, resulting in a $10 billion industry. ChooseWood.com.